Dave, our senior leader, is not well today. He's sick. That's right. And so you've got me. You're stuck with me, okay, for the next 20-odd minutes. And so I want to share some thoughts with you. But I just encourage you, we all get sick from time to time, although man flu is not an illness, it's an attitude. Amen, women, you know what I'm saying? But it's really important that we keep on holding Dave up in prayer and honoring him. He is the spearhead of this whole community here. And in a few weeks, he's traveling to Europe, helping over 20-odd churches in Czech Republic do what we've done here over there. And so we're praying for health, and we're praying for a good rest, and we're praying for OXO soup for that man. So keep him in your heart. Keep praying for him, please. That would be great. Okay. Oxtail soup. There we go, not OXO soup. I'm pretty sure OXO soup is just boiled water and you crumble that awful cube into the thing. Don't pray for that, people. Okay. Okay, it's going to be fun this morning. Okay, we're looking at the whole thing of Count the Stars. And this year, Dave has laid out, in preparation for the years to come, what it means to live in adventure and hope and life. Put your hand up if you heard the last two messages by our senior leader, Dave. You heard it? Okay, great. So you'll know. If you haven't, they're on the podcast right now, so you can go to iTunes and get them there. But I want to read you the story again, but I want to read it in a different version. The Bible is often written in different versions, depending on kind of where you are in life. So let me read it to you. And if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. And if you don't have a Bible, then the words will be on screen in a minute. But Genesis is the first book in the Bible. And I think they wrote a great song that featured on a Dairy Milk advert. I think. No, I'm just joking. Okay, so I'm in Genesis chapter 15. Verses 1 to 6. I'm reading from the Message version. It says this: after all these things, this word of God came to Abram in a vision. Abram is not just a district of Wigan, okay? I just want to make that clear. We're talking about a person here. I'm not talking about the whole village of Abram got a revelation from God, okay? They might have, I don't know, you know? But this is just a bloke we're talking about, okay? After all these things, the word of God came to Abram in a vision. Don't be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield. Your reward will be grand. Abram said, God, Master, what you... Just listen to the tone, okay? The gumption of this guy, right? Listen. God, Master, okay? What use are your gifts, okay? What use are your gifts as long as I'm childless? And Eleazar of Damascus is going to inherit everything. Man, I am so glad that God doesn't talk to us like we talk to him sometimes, you know? Okay, I'm going to let you have your moment now and get all that emotion out, and then we can talk bro to bro. You know, I like it. So here we go, verse 3. Abram continued, see, you've given me no children, just to remind you. And now a mere house servant is going to get it all. Then God's message came, don't worry, he won't be your heir. A son from your body will be your heir. And he took him outside and said, look at the sky, count the stars. Can you do it? Count your descendants. You're going to have a big family, Abram. And he believed God. And God declared him set right with God. I also love that God talks about himself in the third person. You know, set right with God. Do you want milk in your tea? God wants milk in his tea. And I don't think that would happen in normal life, but I love that in this moment of desperation, Abram is crying out to God and God is allowing him to speak. Do you know God allows you to get angry with him? Did you know that? So when you're praying and you're talking to God and you're kind of shouting at him in a very reverent way, do you know he's okay with that? Because if he can get past all your pretentiousness and all your emotion, he can get to you and he can speak to your heart. And I love that God allows him to do that. And so God says, okay, come out of the tent, because he was in a tent. We have a tent. That was the actual tent Abram used 3,000 years ago. We've got it right on there for you. And he got out of his tent and he said, okay, look up and count the stars. Count them if you can. And I love how preposterous this question is. There's a guy, a Bible historian called Alfred Eidersham, who said that when God was actually telling Abraham to count the stars, he wasn't asking him, he was making a point that they're actually numberless. How many stars are in the sky? How many stars do you think scientists think there are in the universe? Do you know? Okay, we've got billions, zillions, a lot, okay. Okay, scientists don't know. Because at this point in time where we are as humanity have no idea. We can get to the moon, that's about it, okay? And Elon Musk is trying to get to Mars. You know, God bless him. I'm not going on that rocket. But they've not a clue. And so did Abraham. Abraham, no clue. God was saying, hey, look at that. You see that? That is beyond what you can understand right now. But guess what? It's there. And so sometimes we have to rest in the unknown, and sometimes we have to find peace in the perplexity in order to live in God's purpose for our life. Count the stars is a challenge to all of us to not only count the good stuff in our life and believe again, but to all understand the role that God plays in our life is sometimes beyond our understanding and our expectation. Okay, I want to take it on a different turn. I want to share three things with you. Then we'll sing and then we'll enjoy some coffee together. I may even throw in a Disney clip for you in a little bit as well, if you're responsive. We always talk about Abraham's perspective. We always talk about the perspective of this kind of old man-ish. And we think about what it means to us. But I want to flip it. And I want to talk about what the stars meant. I want to look at this man who was a herder, who was a shepherd, who was a businessman, who lived under this array of lights each day, what those stars actually meant to him and what they now should mean to us. Number one, as we look at the faithfulness and the goodness of God, we see all the stars laid out before us. Number one, the stars were a guide. They were a guide. The stars were a guide to him. I mean, this story happened a long, long time ago, even before Jeremy Corbyn was born. I mean, we're going back way, 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 okay? And it's about 3,000 odd years ago, okay? A massively long time ago. But do you know what else was happening at the same time as this? Moana. Have you ever seen the Disney film Moana? The best film in the world. I've got some fans over here. Okay, Frozen or Moana? Which one? Moana, every time. Come on. And everyone said amen. Let it go, Elsa. Please, just stop singing about it. Just move on with your life, you know? Moana is one of the best Disney films of all time. Now, at the same time as Abram's kind of doing this in the kind of same time period, the story of Moana was playing out in a much less factual sense, but if you can just bear with me a minute. In the kind of Polynesian islands, they would go and travel over these vast distances of water and find an island. And I wanted to show you what the stars meant to these people who were on this voyage. And so I'm going to show you a Disney clip. See? It was a good thing to come today, wasn't it, eh? Okay, Jesus and Disney. Okay, let's roll the clip, and I want you to see what the stars meant to Moana and her descendants. Thanks, Moana. Weather's a bit different in England than it is out there. We were voyagers, and this is where you and I stand now. Abram, come outside and count the stars, because your descendants are going to be just as numberless. Did you know that you're a descendant of Abram? If you connect with Jesus and you believe in him, because Jesus came from Abram and his line, we are now part of his line because we place our trust in Jesus. We are the stars that God was talking about. Abram, if you could only understand that when you look at the sky and you see me, don't you see that I'm guiding your life? I'm navigating you. You see, the stars and God is a guide in our life. In the same way these voyagers held their hand in the sky and used the stars to navigate where they were going, so you and I can do that with our God. We can look up at the sky and not feel like we have no purpose and no way to go. But when we go to him who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, he knows where it is that your destiny lies. And it's wonderful in this story that Abram believed in his heart. He said he had faith. You know what faith is? is placing confidence in this more than something else. That he placed confidence in what God was saying more than anything else in his life. And God saw that and said, you're set right with me because of that faith. It's counted to him as righteousness, as Dave, our senior leader, spoke about the other week. See, the stars are our guide. God was pointing him again to what him as a shepherd would have looked at every night to make sure that he was still going north or south or east or west. He was saying, come out of your tent and walk in the direction that I'm trying to get you to go. Every night he would sit under these stars, but he forgot what they were there for. They were to guide him. And God was reminding him that he directs the stars. C.S. Lewis, a famous author and poet, said this, faith is the art of holding on to things in spite of changing moods and circumstances. Faith is the art of holding on to something despite changing moods or circumstances. So as Moana's descendants are on that ship, I definitely don't have a body like those guys had, but I'm going to pretend. And they're sailing and they're like, yeah. And the storms and the surges and the sway and there's winds and there's rain. They knew every time they looked up at the stars, they could get the bearings again because they knew that God had a plan and a purpose for them. And I entrust to you today this idea that if you are walking around in circles, if you feel directionless, I know you're in here today. And you've sort of been walking around for the last few months or years, and you're just thinking, what is this all about? What is my life about? Why am I here? I encourage you, count the stars. Go back to that place where you get rid of all the things that distract you from God and get to him and ask him and say, God, who am I and where am I going? And he will be your guide. Number one. The stars were his guide. The second thing is, for Abram, the stars were a reminder. They were a reminder. I was traveling in the car one day with my youngest daughter, my only daughter, and we were traveling somewhere, I can't remember where, and she was probably screaming on the back, and I was trying to keep my cool, pretending like I'm a great adult with everyone else. Yeah, nothing's going wrong. Please shut up. No. And the night before, there was a clear sky and she could see the stars. So we were looking at the stars. Look. And the next day, she said to me, the stars have all gone. Where are the stars, Daddy? The stars have all gone. And I said, don't be stupid. No, I didn't really. Because that's not right. and I said, no, they're not gone. They're still there. And sometimes you can still see stars. I don't know if you check BBC News a lot, they'll tell you like, oh, you can see Mars today because the light's reflecting off it and you can see certain stars and even comets in the sky. But in the heat of the day, in the middle of the day, you can't really see the stars, but where do they go? Well, nowhere. They are where they are. The stars are a lot bigger than you and I. This is exactly where God is in our life. Where's God? Well, he is where he was a minute ago, 10 years ago, 100 years ago, 3,000 years ago, and he will be where he is tomorrow, the day after, and 1,000 years from now. You see, God is never changing. God is the same. And so when we look at the stars in Abram's context, God isn't saying, oh, here I am, poof, magic trick. God isn't saying that. God is saying to Abram, he's saying, don't forget where I am. Hey, I'm here. Don't forget that I am who I am and that I am for you and that I am where I always been. But the problem is things get in the way of those stars sometimes. Sometimes we just need a reminder by God to say, I am with you. I am for you. See, the stars are hidden in the day by how we turn and how we change and what that means to us. In the daytime, they're still there, and so are the plans and purposes of God. I want to tackle a very political subject now. We'll talk about light pollution, people. We'll talk about light pollution. Who leaves the TV on in the background as they're just cooking? Okay, you're naughty. Okay, Who leaves things on when you go to bed, a light on, you know? Or leave the landing light on, okay? Leave the landing light on just in case there's burglars. And then they'll know that we're here. And that burglar's thinking, oh, no, no, I'm not breaking into that house. They're all gathered on the landing waiting for me. No, I don't think so, people. You're naughty if you do that. And light pollution, they say, contributes to climate change. And I can be a stickler sometimes in turning things off in our house. But this is what light pollution is. The definition is when humans introduce the presence of artificial light, which then competes with natural starlight. That's what it is. It's when humans introduce the presence of artificial light, which then competes with natural starlight. And here's some facts that I knew, and I didn't Wikipedia this at all. Here's some facts about light pollution. That it's one of the major sources of climate change because of the energy it uses through the night. Cities like LA can be seen from 200 miles away because of the light it produces. The prolonged light exposure manipulates the cycles of trees because obviously light makes them photosynthesize. And it also affects migrating birds. So certain birds travel at night using the moon and the stars. And so when there's obviously artificial light, it might mess up their navigation. So it affects their migration and their patterns. But this is what I believe, to simply just wrap this up and move on to my next point, is this, is that we all have light pollution in our life. There are things, there are artificial lights that we create that create support and security that we just put in place to make sure that, you know, we're okay. You know, we're okay. But what if God wanted to remind us today that his starlight is there and that he is present and that he's ready for you? This is what I'm saying. Sometimes we put more energy into something that distracts us from God. Let me say it again. We put energy into things that feel good at the time and that feel right to do, but ultimately distract us from the providence and the goodness of God. What if God is reminding us today to not be unwise? I'm not talking about life, oh, I don't have life insurance. Yeah, I have life insurance, but I'm talking about the things that we prioritize more than God that take precedent in our life. Whether that is money, whether that is career, whether it is relationships, whether it is status, whether it is Facebook, whatever it is, I encourage you today to remove those things that take your energy away from knowing intimately and completely the God who made you and loves you. So let me ask you a question. What is restricting your reminder? What is restricting your reminder? What is distracting you from the evidence and the showing of God in your life? And that's the beauty of First Fruits, because it gets rid of some of that pollution. It gets rid of some of those things that seek to distract us or contain us. And it challenges us to get out the tent and give in obedience, but also generosity. And so it challenges, it's a challenge. But that's where our focus goes back on God, back on the stars, so we can count them again. Very simple, isn't it? So number one, the stars are a guide to us. And the second thing is, the stars are a reminder. There was no light pollution in Abram's day. There's a lot of light pollution in Abram now, you know, but not in his day. So every night, Abram, as he's locking the gates, as he's making sure all the business is okay, and he's shutting the doors, and he's making sure his family are okay, before he goes to sleep, he would see those stars every single night. Every single night he would see the Milky Way, shooting stars. It would be so pure that it would light the ground, that he could walk around because it's so bright and his eyes would adjust to that light. I would love to live in the purity of that existence. Yeah. Where every day as I'm shutting up the shop, making sure the family are okay and I'm getting in bed, I can shut my eyes with no distraction and no pollution and just experience again the magnitude of God, the wonder of God, to feel his presence in my life. And I know some of you in here are desperate to get back to that point. You're desperate to get to that point of intimacy with God again. It's time to remove the restriction and be reminded of God again in your life. Lastly, number three, for Abram and for us, the stars are a story. The stars are a story. Did you know that people have looked up at the stars since God created man? And they have looked up at the sky and they have seen these stars that have existed long before they did, okay? And they've made stories up about them. It seems like almost every religion in the world had constellations. You know, even the Hebrews did. And they would paint and they would do, where you draw from the line? And they would do dot to dot with the stars every night around the campfire. Barry? Yeah, Keith? What do you think that is? That's a hunter. And he'd draw it with his finger. That's a hunter getting his bow and firing it. What do you think that is? I don't know, Keith. I think it looks like you giving me extra money at the end of the payday. Oh, is it right? That's a lie. What's that? What's an animal? What's that? Oh, it's a mountain. What's that? It's a star, you div. No, what is it? Oh, right, that, okay. And they would sit around the campfire and they would do dot to dot. And then from there we find like Orion's belt and all these things, like a crab. Please show me where there's a crab in the sky, because I've tried for decades. I can't do it, people. You can give me a book that shows me constellations. I can't do it. This is what we do. This is what humanity does. We take what God has made and we create stories and narrative. There's a guy in the Bible that came after Abram that writes a song about the stars. And it's in a book that he wrote called Psalms, and it's in the Bible. Here's a little bit from it. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise him. Okay, we get it. We're going to praise him. Verse 2. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles from Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up the wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. God is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Okay, I'm just about done now. So I want the band to come up, because we normally sing at the end of every gathering. And I want us to sing a specific thing. I want us to sing Do It Again from that kind of chorus bit. I've seen you move the mountains. We'll do that in a minute. And then we can have a moment of reflection together. He determines the numbers of the stars. But hang on. You need to check your theology, Benji. Because at the start of this message, you said that the stars were numberless. Well, they are to you and I. But to God, he knows exactly what he's created. He knows exactly what he's made. He's not a fool. He doesn't just go, blah, right, leave it to yourself. He knows exactly where we are now. He even knows how many hairs you have on your head. That's seen in the Bible. He knows you. And so when God is asking Abram to look at the stars, he's saying, go on, count them. And he can't. But God knows. You need to hear this today. Ready for this? God knows. And you don't need to do it in your own strength. You don't need to find your way around it. You don't need to figure it out and get it all ducks in a row, which I like to do before I make a decision. When God is saying, it should be enough that I know. And you don't. He determines the numbers of the stars. Guess what? Verse 4. And he calls them each by name. Wow. You guys can start to play whenever. We're going to do it again from the chorus. Thanks. He numbers them. And this is what I like to think, right? This is what I like to think. So this is the mind of Ben, okay? One day I'm going to write my own like concordance of the Bible. It's just going to be full of weird random Moana references. And people are going to go, what is that from the book of Genesis? But I'm going to do it. But this is what I like to think. I like to think that all the stars have a name just for us. And as we look up at the stars, one star is called health. And another one is called security. Another one is called decision. Are you coming with me right now? Another one is called grace. Another one is called hope. Another one is called family. Another one is called life and faith and goodness. And another one is called this, your job. And then it's got like an underline with a question mark saying you fill here. And it's got your street. And it's your problem. And these stars in the sky, he names them. And he says, this star's for you. This year, this star's for you. Because guess what? I know. And because I know, you don't need to worry about it. Abram, you're struggling to understand my goodness and my generosity because you can't at this moment number them. But I want to tell you this, that I name the stars. And the stars are in my nature and my name. And I'm your provider. Let's pray together. Jump to your feet and we're going to sing. If you're able to stand, stand with me. Because these stars, they tell a story. They tell a story. What's your question? If you're a believer and you've read the Bible, if you're not, that's cool. But if you're in here and you know some of the scriptures, finish this sentence. And God said, let there be. Mm-hmm. Amen. What did he say? And God said, let there be. Come on, somebody, come with me. And God said, let there be. Did God say, let there be darkness? No. Did God say, let there be enough? No. Did God say, let there be an ambiguous amount that is just surplus to requirement? No. God said, let there be light. And I love that God walks in to an absolute nothingness space where there's emptiness and the Spirit is hovering over the waters as if there's nothing but just stuff, chaos, and there's just darkness everywhere. And God walks into that situation and says, let there be light. And I am telling you, and I'm declaring over your life, I'm ready to get excited right now. You have permission to too, that he will walk into your situation as chaotic as it is, as dark as it is, and he will declare over you and your family and your health and your future. He will say, let there be light. And what I love is this, is that the same light God created all those years ago is twinkling at you right now. Man, sometimes we don't understand that God was before us and that we're here now and so is he. The stars tell a story. And to finish, let me point this to you. Abram lived way before Jesus lived. Okay, we're talking about thousands of years before Jesus comes along. As Son of God, saves us from all our brokenness. We can live an eternity in heaven and we can find life before death here. So he's way before, so he didn't even know about Jesus. This is what I love. Jesus comes along and he says this. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When we look at the stars, we know that Jesus is the light of the world. And this array of different things that we can see, shooting stars, supernovas, the birth and the death of stars, we know that when we look to God, we can see a greater story happen in our life, where God was setting Jesus up for humanity, where he was setting up this penultimate moment where Christ would die and then rise again for us, because we know that he is the light. And I don't know your story, and I don't know your narrative, and I don't know where you are. I only know the stars, and I only know the God who is unchanging, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm not asking you to have a little bit of faith. I'm asking you to have what Abram had, and have confidence in him more than anything else, because he is our guide. He reminds us of who we are and who he is, and he is our story. And what I love is this, you are his story. And there is something unfolding in your life this year that is far greater and far different than anything else you have experienced yet. And we can stand there in our tent, and we can stand there with all these lights, these artificial lights, and think, that's enough, that's enough, that's enough, but I feel empty. Or we could strip that all away and count the stars again and believe in God.